Good evening. Good to see you. And we trust that God will bless you richly over these next 20 minutes as we think something of the wonderful message of the gospel. Sometimes people ask this question. Well, a man, in fact, in the Bible asked the question. He said one day, how can we know the way? He was a man by the name of Philip. How can we know the way? And sometimes people in our present day don't just put it like that. What they say is this. What is it that makes the Christian gospel different from any other religious message in the world? And of course, this is a thing that can be very confusing and perplexing and bewildering in the day in which we live, because all over the world there are so many different religious messages that people listen to. So the question must arise, how can we know the way? Or alternatively, what is so special about the Christian gospel? What makes it so different? Well, tonight there is a very simple answer to the question, or to the questions. The answer that the Lord Jesus gave to Philip long ago was this, to Thomas, rather, long ago was this. He said, how can we know the way? The Lord Jesus said, I am the way. If it is that the question is put in more modern terms, what exactly is the difference between every other religious message in the world and the Christian gospel, and why are we Christians? Well, the answer is Christ. The difference between the gospel, the Christian gospel, and every other religious message in the world is Christ. Now, I was going to read some verses from the Bible to you, but I've decided not to read the verses out of my Bible, but I'm going to ask you to read with me the verses that are around the walls. So now, you would understand if you've been observant and you've lifted your eyes from the water at some point in the proceedings, you will see that on this back wall there is this most lovely verse. And it reminds whoever preaches in this building, and it reminds Christians at all times, that we preach not ourselves. We preach not ourselves, but actually Christ Jesus the Lord. He is the one who is the difference. In fact, in the Christian gospel, he is everything. So we don't preach about us. Michael was saying earlier, this mandate for baptism didn't come from any church or any headquarters. Not that there is a headquarters at all. But you see, the fact of the matter is, we're not here to say anything about us, but we are here totally and completely to talk about him. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. Now I'm asking you to look at that lovely verse at the far end there, in which the Apostle Paul is writing. He's just told Timothy how he got saved, how he became a Christian. By the way, I wonder, could I ask you, have you ever been saved? We've been hearing that Jackie one day put her faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. She got saved. She passed from death to life. She came to know her sins forgiven and peace with God through the Lord Jesus. Look at the verse at the end. It says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Now, what do you notice about that verse? You'll notice that really Paul is not talking about himself as he writes it, but he's writing about another. But the one who he's writing about is the very same one whose name appears on this back wall. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. Listen to what Paul says about him. First of all, he says this is a faithful saying. It's reliable. It's trustworthy. This is something that isn't debatable. This is something that is absolutely worthy of our trust. It's a faithful saying. It's worthy for us to accept it. And it's this, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Can I think with you about that for a moment? He's only interested in presenting Christ. And the thing that he says about Christ is this, that when Christ Jesus came into the world, he came on a mission, and that mission was to save. So I'm learning a very big thing now, and it's simply this. It is that he, the Son of God, Christ Jesus, our Lord, he only came into the world because there was a necessity for people to be saved. Dear friends, the Christian gospel stands in contrast to every other message, firstly on this ground, that it tells us that we are not able to save ourselves. That is to say, the Bible makes it so plain that it is a total impossibility for any one of us to do so much good or try with a certain amount of effort that is enough to make us who have sinned against God to be acceptable to Him and able to enter ultimately into His heaven. And in order that we might be in heaven, in order that each and every one of us might be saved from our sins and saved from their penalty and saved that we might have eternal glory, Christ Jesus came into the world and He came to save. Now I want you to follow this very closely. Every other message in the world that I have ever come across, for one, every other message that there is in the world of a religious nature says this, that it is you who has to do something in order that you might be in heaven. Some people have strange notions about the gospel, and what they think is that the Christian gospel is coming to the Bible, reading the Ten Commandments. You can read them on the way in or the way out, as it happens tonight. But you can come to the Bible, read the Ten Commandments, and a lot of people think that being a Christian is doing the Ten Commandments. But you see, there is nobody who conforms to the Ten Commandments that God has given. What the Ten Commandments, the law of God, tells us is that actually we miss the mark. We have come short of the standard. We fail to do those righteous things that God actually demands. These are representative, these consisted His righteous standard. Dear friends, can I say to you that the message of the gospel says that it's not that we have to do something to be saved that would merit or earn our salvation, but what the Christian gospel says is simply this, that because it is impossible for us to be saved, God sent His Son into the world that He might save us. Look again at what it says at the end. It says that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. How wonderful that God sent His Son, a Saviour. And can I say to all of you individually, to younger ones and to older ones, He sent His Son into the world so that you might be saved. He saw us in our condition. I'm not sure what we all think of ourselves. A whole lot of us think far too much of ourselves and think we're a whole lot better than what we really are. But the Bible has some very, very perceptive things and true things to say about us. It will say this, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That every single one of us has missed the mark. Every one of us has fallen short of the standard. I've only ever met two people in my life, two people. Up until recently it was only one. But I've now met two people who told me, fairly and squarely, that they had never ever done anything wrong. This is not a sexist comment that I'm about to make. They were both women. And in both cases, I immediately said to myself, boys, am I glad that I'm not married to you. I'm sure there's nobody in this meeting tonight who would say the same. And tonight here we are in the presence of God who is holy. The God of eternity, the God of heaven, the God who brought everything into existence, the God who ultimately is the judge of all, the God who knows everything about us with nothing held back. He's saying this about us, that we have all sinned and we have all fallen short of His glory. Heaven is closed to us because God is holy. Hell is open to us because sin must be punished. But praise God for the love of God, for the grace of God, for the wonder of divine love is this, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Now you might say to me tonight, well that's good, in that case I'm saved and on my way to heaven. Well, I want you just to hold back before you make that amazing leap in your thinking. We must ask this question, if Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, how can sinners be saved? Must be the next question. How can sinners be saved? I have to tell you that the fact that Christ Jesus came into the world doesn't automatically mean that everybody in the world is saved. And the Bibles tell us that's not the case. Mind, I tell you what it does say. It says that anybody and everybody may be saved. There is provision that the Lord Jesus made when he came into the world to save sinners, so that whoever we are, we may be saved. You might say to me, do I get saved by following his example? No, because you won't follow his example any more than I can follow his example. In fact, his example condemns us. But when Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, it was absolutely necessary that he go to the cross, and on the cross that he give himself as the great sacrifice for sins and for sinners, to pay the price of sin that we could never pay. And I'm asking you therefore to look at this verse just here at this end. A beautiful verse. I want to say something about it. A friend of mine was in a school near Cardiff not too long ago. And he was speaking to sixth formers about the gospel, and he met with a lot of scepticism. And there's a lad come up to me and says, "You surely don't believe the Bible, do you?" He said, "I do believe the Bible." He said, "How can you believe the Bible?" So my friend opened the Bible, actually, where this is found, Isaiah 53. And he read to him this verse. I'm going to read it to you. It says that he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Said my friend to this skeptical sixth former, "Of whom does this speak?" Well, he said, "It clearly speaks of Jesus." He says, "You're right, but did you know something? That was written 700 odd years before Christ Jesus ever came into the world to save sinners." My dear friends, this evening, can I say to you, that the Lord Jesus did not come simply to be our example, did not come to show us the way, so to speak. He did not come simply to teach us or to lead us. But when Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, it necessitated this, that Christ Jesus went to the cross, and on the cross, listen very carefully, "For transgressions that were not his, but which were mine, he was wounded." This is the love of God to me. I love to read this verse. "It was because of my iniquities that he was bruised. It was for my peace that he was chastised." The word has this in view, that he bore the hot displeasure of God against sins, but the sins were mine. "In order that I might have peace with God, in order that I be no longer shut out from heaven and on my road to hell, on the cross, the Lord Jesus experienced for me and instead of me, he experienced God's hot displeasure against my sin, that I might have peace." And says this lovely verse, "With his stripes we are healed." The idea is this, that for my healing, he knew the stripe, the scar from God. My dear friends, the cross of Christ is the most wonderful place. At it there is expressed to us the love of God, because what God says is this, if you're ever going to be in heaven, if ever our sins are going to be forgiven, then the price of sin must be fully paid. God's righteous demands in respect of sin must be fully met. Dear friends, at the cross the Lord Jesus gave himself as the great sacrifice for sins in order that there might be opened up to us the way to heaven. In order that God might be a just and a righteous God and yet at the same time forgive our sins. Here is love exhibited in its fullest. Here is the great story of the Christian gospel. It is written in precious blood. It is drawn in crimson lines. It tells us that Jesus died for sinners, that sinners might be saved. Every Christian I've ever met has been in this position where they have said, "I owe it all to him." Sometimes I think of what it might be like in heaven. And I don't know who you think's going to heaven. That would be an interesting survey if we did that in the town this evening and even in the meeting as to who is going to be in heaven. I love to remember this, that some of the biggest rascals that ever walked the streets of earth will walk the streets of heaven. I just love that thought. You see, it's like this. If you were to go up to heaven tonight and you were to walk along the main street or whatever, I'm speaking in picturesque language. If you were to walk up the main street of heaven tonight and you were to speak to a person coming the other way, and you were to say to them, excuse me, but could you tell me how was it that you got here to heaven? Were you a perfect person on earth? No. Did you do your best? Well, yes, but I constantly came short of even my standards, never mind God's, this person might say. Did you get there because you were baptized? No. Did you get here because you joined a church? No. Did you get here because your parents were Christians? No. Did you get here because you were born in a Christian country? No. How did you get here? Listen to what they say. See that man there? In his hands, the nail prints of Calvary. They would, every single one in heaven, oh, by the way, it says about heaven, they'll come from the north and the south and the east and the west. There'll be representatives of every country and every kindred and every tribe and every language. They'll all be found in heaven. Do you know that every single one of them will say in that day, do you see that man there with the wounds of Calvary still visible in his body? He brought me here. I don't know how you've been loved in life. I thank God for the loves that have been in my life. The love of parents, the love of sisters, the long enduring love of my wife. My children, I thank God for it, every one of them. But nobody ever loved me like he loved me. When I didn't deserve it, he loved me so much. He gave his all for me. Because he left the throne of heaven to come into this world. And not just to endure the hatred of men and women against him. And they're spitting and they're scorning and they're mocking and they're giving him the cross. But I thank God for the love of Jesus. Because at the place called Calvary, that lovely man, he bore my sins for me. And all their judgment, and all that I deserved, all that was really a sentence passed upon me, it was executed upon him. He, in my place, died my death and bore my sins. He was there on the cross and under God's judgment as my substitute. And I'll praise him forever that he should love me like that. Do you know him at all? Do you know him? I would love that everybody in this room tonight came to know my Saviour, who loved like that, whose love will never fail. The Bible has this to say, that no extremity in life, no extremity of circumstance, whether it's death itself, there is nothing that can separate the Christian, the believer, from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He not only loved us then, but he loves us still, and he'll love us forever. The difference between the Christian gospel and every other religious message is this. It is that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and he died on the cross and rose again, and is tonight a living Saviour, in order that he might be our Saviour, in order that what we cannot do, he will do for us, and he will do it for us on a certain condition being fulfilled. That condition doesn't involve money. It doesn't involve water. It doesn't involve churches. It doesn't involve ceremony. It doesn't involve ritual. But that condition, now we'll not need to miss this, is found in that lovely middle verse. I guess that's the most famous verse in the Bible. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Some friends of mine walked up Mount Kilimanjaro in October. They went in a group. In that group there was a man from the West Country. He ran a newsagent's shop. A little while before he went to Kilimanjaro, a little old lady came into his newsagent's shop. She came up to the counter and she looked up at him. She said, "Do you believe in God?" Well, he said, I wish I could, really. She said, read that. She gave him a Bible. He began at the beginning and he read through the Bible and he devoured it. He read his Bible. He just didn't know which way to turn. Having said that, he wanted to talk to someone. He prayed to God. He said, "Oh God." He said, "When I go away to Mount Kilimanjaro, please may there be somebody there who could talk to me about the thing that I really need. One day, walking up that Mount Kilimanjaro in Africa, a man turned up one morning, a friend of mine, and on it, he had a t-shirt on. And on the back of it said 316. And on the front of it said this: God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. What said the man? There's the answer to my prayer. Contains the condition. Listen again what it says. That whosoever believeth in him. Or could we grasp this tonight? The boys can grasp it. The girls can grasp it. The younger folks, the middle-aged folks, the older folks. If you've never grasped this, could you in this meeting and in the presence of God this evening, could you grasp this? But God says that we will not have everlasting life and we will not escape from going down to hell by doing the best we can and working away at it and earning and paying and praying and reading and ceremonies and rituals. What he says is this, that a person is saved, a person will not perish. A person has, as a present possession, everlasting life if they believe on my Son. He is the difference between the Christian gospel and everything else. Listen again to what God says. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Do you know what that means? It means this. It means abandoning every thought that you could ever save yourself. It's coming to a recognition that you certainly do need to be saved. That your sins are bad and wrong because they're offensive to God. And that there is nothing and nobody, including yourself or, well, just nobody else, there is absolutely nothing and nobody who could clear you of your sins and bring you life and heaven at the end of the journey. My dear friends, the Christian gospel is Christ. And the benefit and blessing of God's salvation comes to every single person who is prepared to believe in him. The verse says it. There it is. You'll see, I'm not making this up. In the course of time, thousands and thousands and thousands of people have been converted through that lovely verse in the middle of that wall. I wonder tonight if you would come to that point in life where you repent of sin and realize that it's bad and wrong. Realize that there is a heaven to gain and that there is a hell to shun. There's in any event eternity to face. And that a Savior who loved you and who died for you and rose again is a living, powerful, able, willing, ready Savior. And if you come tonight in faith and trust, you're placing reliance upon the Lord Jesus to save you. Do you know when you do that, you fulfill the condition that God has put in his word in many places, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Whenever I'm at a meeting and speaking, I always pray this to God. That nobody in this meeting will ever be lost in hell. But that one day we'll meet again. We'll never meet again like this. Not here on earth. I may never see a whole lot of you again and you might never see me again. But I pray this, that every one of us at the end of life's journey and in that great eternity will be found in heaven and surrounding the throne of God and of the Lamb and praising him for the fact that he gave himself at the cross in order that we might be saved. And to join together in that great song of heaven, worthy is the Lamb that was slain, just redeemed us to God by his blood. May I say this before I finish? If you miss Christ, if you miss Christ, you miss everything. If you gain Christ, you have everything. May it be that we shall all of us truly know him as our own, our personal Savior. From this night on, and live for his honour and glory in the rest of our lives. And thank you so much for listening. May God bless you. Shall we pray?